This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
What's up, everyone? It is Trish Blackwell, and you are listening to episode number 124 of Confidence on the Go. This is the podcast that is all about building your confidence life. And we do that in your mind, your movement, and your meaning. We're looking to really, as a community, grow and encourage one another as we celebrate the journey of life and celebrate becoming more of who we can be each and every day, being the best version of ourselves possible. And we do that by committing to being more. So if you are part of this community, we call you a be-more-er. And if you are new, I want to welcome you, and I'm just so excited that you've decided to spend a little time with us here. I want you to know that I value your time. It is my greatest honor to get to be your coach, your confidence coach in life. And I know that every Tuesday that I put out an episode is time that matters to you. So it is my intention and my goal each and every week to bring you great content and strategies that really help take your life to the next level. Now, my name is Trish, as you know, and a little bit about me, if you are brand new, is I am a brand new mom. So you probably heard her already about 30 seconds ago. We had a nice little hello and welcome squeal in the background from my little 6-month-old baby, Ellie. So yes, I sometimes have to juggle the recording studio with a little baby, and makes it more challenging and more fun. I live in the DC area, and I am really pumped to get to, like I said, serve you every week. So you can find out more about me at trishblackwell.com, and make sure you hit up my Facebook at facebook.com/trishblackwellfitness. I'm also on Instagram at trish_blackwell. Now, this week's episode, we are talking about how to overcome survivor mode. Now, sometimes we call this survival mode. Sometimes we call this survivor mode. Regardless, it's the same thing. And what we're going to be chatting about is the difference between surviving and thriving, how to know if you are unnecessarily reinforcing survival mode thinking in your life. And then I'm going to give you 4 ways to overcome survival thinking so that you can start really thriving with your thinking. So I always like to ask, well, and answer why this topic, right? So why are we talking about survival mode? Well, first and foremost, I want you to know that I hear your suggestions and I love taking community feedback. I want to know what's on your mind, what's in your life, what can I help coach you to encourage you? Because I'll tell you what, if you're experiencing it, there's a very strong chance that one of the other thousands and thousands of members of this community are experiencing as well. And if I could help you, I can help them as well. So I'm going to read an email from a listener. Her name is Marley, and here's what she says. So this is where the idea came from. Thank you, Marley. She says, there's a topic I would love to hear a podcast on, survival mode and recovery from it. For many years, I've lived in a destructive survivor mode as a result of PTSD and anxiety stemming from childhood trauma and abuse. Survivor mode has kept me living like a rabbit, not a lion. I've constantly been on the move, scared and skittish. I've self-imploded every relationship that has come into my life, including toxic relationships I have with my parents and siblings. I've learned that while I'm in survival mode, I'm also feeding the monsters of generational curses from divorce to addictions, and this is setting the stage for my children to live their lives in the same destructive way. It's literally the legacy I'm leaving my children, and it must stop. I've decided that I must make the change to end the cycle. I just don't know how to move on, how to survive and thrive after survivor mode. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Keep on riding your unicorn, cowgirl. You rock. And thank you, Marley. And what I love about this, and the reason I really was so compelled by your email, Marley, is that One, I relate. And two, I love that you said that this must stop. You're recognizing your patterns, but you're taking action. You're saying, no longer am I going to let this control my life or be part of the legacy that, more importantly, that I leave my children. Because there is something very powerful that you said and noted, is that there are generational messages and curses and blessings that we pass on, because we teach our children by the way we live. We've learned from those who came before us. And sometimes it's hard to want to take action on making a change to something that maybe has been a mindset of yours for years, possibly decades, possibly maybe the only mindset you've known, because it's all that you've been taught. And so the thought of changing and truly believing that you can make sustainable change that's positive can seem overwhelming. It can seem daunting. But I want you to know that it's not. And then I want you to know that sometimes having the motivation of your legacy and your children and breaking up a generational message that's being passed down can add to that motivating drive for you to say, you know what, it is time to change. It is time for me to not let this be part of my life anymore, not let this define me, not let this become part of my mentality. So that's the first reason we're talking about this topic today. Second reason is because I grew up in a household where survival mode was a common theme. For lack of better explanation, I was forced to be the optimistic one because I was surrounded with a lot of circumstantially negative influences, meaning that we, you know, and finances were tough, and our family was definitely struggled to make ends meet. So it always felt like we literally were in survival mode a lot of times, that we weren't sure how we were going to pay the bills or how we were going to put food on the table, or, you know, there were broken relationships in different, varying branches of our family tree, and those seemed like irreparable damage had been done, that we were surviving family functions or, thriving in life was never something that was really talked about. And I think for me, I grew up in that with survivor mode and survival mode sort of being the undercurrent of what I was taught, whether it was obviously definitely was not intentionally taught, but it's something that I picked up. And for out of pure desire to say, I believe there is better, there's more to life than this. I know that God has something better for me than living like this, living, whether it's the attitude from I'm just living for the weekends, or just the attitude of scarcity, a belief in scarcity versus a belief in abundance. I said to myself, I refuse to buy into this. I want to think differently. And so I did. I just started thinking differently. Now, I got all the slack for it. And I think sometimes my family thought I was, you know, Pollyanna in La La Land. But I'll tell you what, it worked. And life is abundant, and life is good, and it is to be celebrated, and you can thrive. That we're not here to just survive. That's the biggest lie we could possibly believe, because that lie puts us on the sidelines of life. That lie removes us from being able to have anything to do with the destiny that we were destined for and determined to live. That lie removes us from an ability to really make an impact. Because if you feel like you're just surviving, if you're just getting by, it's very difficult to get out of being a self-centered mindset. And I mean that in an unself-centered way. You're in survival mode. So all you think about is how to get through the day or through whatever that circumstance is. And there's a big, you know, issue with that, with thinking that I'm going to make a difference in this world. Well, no, in survival mode, you won't, because survival mode is about you. So that's the second reason we're talking about it. I want you to know that when I'm talking about this, I'm sharing from my experiences. So by no means does that cover everyone's experience of survival mode or survivor mode, but I do want you to know that this is something close to my heart and something that I believe that you can make changes on and overcome. Now, like anything, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's not going to happen overnight. You have to be intentional and stay committed, and again, believe that you can make these changes. And surround yourself with people who believe in these changes and in this mindset as well, who believe in that life is about joy. In fact, for some of you know this, but many of you probably don't. I have one tattoo. I never thought I'd be a tattoo girl, but my one tattoo actually is a tattoo. It's on my right hip, and it's my favorite French phrase. But the reason that's so dear to me, that phrase is so dear to me, is because it reminds me daily to thrive. It separates me from what I was taught and what I grew up believing to what I now believe and know to be true. And that tattoo says joie de vivre, which means joy of living in French. And it translates so literally, but what I love about it is joie, joy. That joy is a choice, and that joy is something that I actually am, like, literally, because it's inked in to me, carrying around with me, that no matter where I go, I'm going to have joy, even if it's just a word that's written on my body. And when you have joy, you're not surviving, you're thriving. So that was an extremely important statement to me. And then, and vivre is in the French language, it's the statement's in an joie de vivre is in an infinitive for the word vivre, the verb. When you use an infinitive in the French language grammatically, it makes that phrase a command. And so to me, when I look at that tattoo, I'm seeing joy. I'm carrying joy everywhere with me. And secondly, I'm commanded to live. I'm choosing to live. That living is an action, an active thing I choose to engage in every day. Where surviving is disengaged, it's sitting by and letting something happen to me. So it's a double whammy for me. It's joy, and then it's a reminder to take action on my life, not let life happen to me, because the people who let life happen to them are stuck in survival mode. I will not be in survival mode, because I am convinced that life is better than that we have the opportunity to thrive and to live abundantly. And that's why that happens, by clinging to joy and choosing to activate into life and to choose to live. So the third reason, and this one's a little bit closer to heart, so I'm going to be intimate. Let's get real. And you guys know I'm transparent, so I have no problem sharing this with you. But I had a very visceral opportunity, a very, very, oh, I don't even know the word. Actually, that doesn't even come close to being strong enough. I had a very raw opportunity to truly practice survival mode transition from surviving to thriving. So in 2008, some of you know, because for those of you who know my story, but if you don't, in 2008, I was brutally raped, and I experienced extreme PTSD. Now, the assault occurred coincidentally just months after I had broken up my engagement with my very first love, I was really still emotionally recovering from that broken relationship when my attacker then broke my spirit and harmed my body. And as you can imagine, there's a lot that went into the PTSD that's associated with that, the recovery time. But after 2 weeks of just pure darkness and hopelessness and cowering from the world, and when I mean cowering from the world, I cowered from the world. I literally was just surviving day to day. I woke one night to this, just really this life-changing decision. What happened was I couldn't sleep, and I belonged to a 24-hour gym, so I also didn't feel safe. So this gym, which was, you know, brightly lit and fully staffed 24/7, was the safest place for me to be. And before this moment, I hated running, but the only answer to all these thoughts in my head and this anxiety I was experiencing, the PTSD and the fears, was to get on the treadmill, because the treadmills have these long arms. So I didn't feel like someone could jump out and get me. You know, I felt really safe and protected. And so I spent this, you know, I don't even remember how long it was. You guys, it might have been 5 minutes, or I might have been on that treadmill for 5 hours. I have no clue. But what I do know, in that time, that the whatever minutes that I was on that treadmill, I made a life-changing decision. Something in me said, you know what, Trish? From here on out, you are no longer a victim. For the past 2 weeks, you've been a victim. From here on out, you are no longer a victim. Because, and I said, what's the opposite of a victim? I'm going to be a victor. Because the reality is that man had done me enough harm as it was. I don't need to go into the details of what brutality was done, or the side effects of it, physically, emotionally, mentally. You can imagine, I'm sure, and there are thousands of you out there who have a similar story or something that would be just as destructive and has really rocked your world. That doesn't matter. But what matters that is that man had done enough harm and he'd brought enough evil into my life through his act of violence. And at that moment, I decided I would not give his actions any further negative impact or room to matter in my life. His legacy and his impact on me stopped right there. And then that to me was for me, this decision to say I refuse to be a victim, because that's what a survivor is. A survivor is someone who's sort of resigned themselves to be a victim. That there's no empowerment is sort of like, well, I made it. No, okay, so what are you going to do afterwards? How are you going to triumph? Now, I've went to therapy. I've done I've done extensive work to recover from that. I'm not saying that in the snap of my finger, I got off the treadmill and, you know, my PTSD was gone. And, you know, no, by no means. But what was changed was my mindset and how I saw the experience and how I was then able to forgive him and forgive the circumstances and work through that in a healthier and more powerful and an empowering way. So those are my three reasons. So like I said, listener request for this episode, then also personal experience just in growing up and seeing the world around me and how the people I knew intimately acted. And then thirdly, my really extreme experience of really, well, I was a survivor, but how I took that survivor statement and identity and said, okay, so I'm a survivor of a sexual assault, but I don't like that label. I'm a thriver. I'm a victor. I'm victorious. I've been healed from that. I am so strong because of that. And I want to celebrate life because I almost had my life taken from me. So those are my three reasons. What I want to talk about survival mode and the survival mentality, signs that you might be experiencing that. Because one question I really thought about when I put some research into this week's topic was, you know, how many of us are maybe unnecessarily reinforcing survival mode states in our minds without realizing it? So I have some signs that I think might be indicative if you are prescribed to this sort of survival mentality, maybe without even realizing. So signs that you are in survival mentality is that you are stressed frequently and you feel like all you do is to get through the day just to start over. You have trouble sleeping. Life seems to pile up without much promise of rest. You live for the weekends or for vacations or for that glass of wine at the end of the day. You move in life with the mentality that you're actually being threatened or that everyone's out to get you. You live with extreme cynicism. You feel a great need to prove yourself or your worth, or you experience relentless anxiety. Now, the more thought I put into this, the more I realized that survival mode is a disconnection from real living. It's like watching life happen around you and feeling helpless and powerless to do anything about it, good or bad. It's like we said earlier, that surviving is when you're allowing life to happen to you, versus thriving is good or bad. Like, you can thrive and be struggling and have hard circumstances. Thriving doesn't mean everything's, you know, sunshine and rainbows, but it means that you're actively engaged in life. Survival mode is often something we emotionally connect to if we are unaware because our minds want to believe that we're fighters. We want to know that we're survivors. And by staying locked into and engaged in survival mode thinking, we identify ourselves with being strong and tough. It's sort of this slippery slope of martyrdom that we pride ourselves on, sometimes on thinking, you know, like, I deserve to be pissed off. I deserve to be so, like, you know, I'm a survivor. I'm a fighter. Look at all the hard stuff that's happened to me. And there's something to be said about being angry and working through anger in a good way. But then there's something really negative to be said about holding on to that for too long, for months, for years, for decades, because then you're just pissed off. And then you're just, it becomes harder and harder to forgive whoever it is that's harmed you. And when we don't forgive those that have brought evil into our life or made like life challenging or maybe just hurt our feelings, we allow them to have much larger impact on us than they ever deserved the right to in the first place. More often than not, they never deserved to be in our life at all. But sometimes those of us who are stuck in this martyrdom of survival mode, we're really allowing the people that we least want to have the most influence in our lives. So I want to challenge you, if you feel like you're relating to this today, I want to challenge you to really look at it from a new perspective and just say, gosh, I don't want to give this person a voice in my life anymore. I don't want to give these circumstances a voice in my life anymore. I want to stop getting mad about them and instead start doing something about them, or doing really something about my attitude about them. So I really want you to see that survivor mode is a toxic mindset. It's a mindset that, by allowing us to identify ourselves as survivors, we miss out on this opportunity to see ourselves as thrivers. I really don't think that you can be a survivor and a thriver at the same time. A survivor is a victim. It's someone who's gotten through, who's overcome, and still suffers from the wrong that was done to them. A thriver? Victorious, even in the midst of the wrong that's being done to them, even in the midst of challenges. It's a mindset change and a mindset difference. And so, okay, so then you go, that sounds great, Trish. Like, how do I get to that point? I came up with four ways. And, you know, so my real answer is, I'm not really sure how you get to that point. I told you how I did. It took me being really pissed off, me being really scared and a treadmill in the middle of the night, and realizing I didn't want an evil person to have I didn't want their evil and their violent actions to have any more ability just to perpetuate into my life and my voice, and to affect me and hold me back from living and making a difference in this world. That was for me. So that might work for you, but your circumstances might be completely different. So it might not be a strategy that you can take. I did come up with four ways on how to overcome survival mode. So I hope that these help. There certainly are more ways, but these are the ones I could come up with that I think will work in a lot of people's cases. And that mentality of saying, how do I switch? It's like thinking about your mindset. We're switching almost like a toggle in our mind from surviving to thriving. So the first thing I want you to do, and you know, this is actually not, well, is this one of mine? Yeah, you know what? We'll go into the first one. Number one is understand that it's a mindset. So overcoming survival mode is understanding it's a mindset, and that you can choose to have a mindset of survivor mode or mindset of thriving mode. And I want you to ask yourself, do I want to continue just surviving and getting by, or do I really want to thrive? And what would thriving look like for you? Can you visualize what that life looks like? The more you visualize, the more you see yourself being able to live out in the thriving mentality, the freedom of joy, of actively engaging in life, the more you're going to be able to follow through on that and believe that you can make that toggle switch in your mindset. You know, it's a mindset, it's ability to actually thrive starts with first believing that you can and that you will. You know, put reminders everywhere. Like, I'm not saying you need to go get tattooed the way I did to remind myself that I've chosen a life of thriving, but you certainly can write post-it notes and put them everywhere. You can leave yourself voice memos. You can meditate or read your Bible and pray every day, or journal every afternoon with your cup of coffee. There are things and activities and daily habits you can put into place to set yourself up for success, to switch this mindset and mentality. You can make it a mantra. I'm a thriver. I'm a thriver. I'm a thriver. And refuse to allow the words survive or getting by or I just want to make it. Refuse to have those in your vocabulary anymore or in your thought life. Second way to really overcome survival mode is to rediscover your passions. I want you to incorporate more joy and more beauty into your life. You are the conductor of the immediate environment around you. And that being your home, that means the people with whom you surround yourself with, the things that you do. Surround yourself with beauty, with passions, with things that activate your heart and your mind. Because as you do, you will activate your life with more authentic engagement in living. So the real strategy behind this, the statement of rediscovering your passions, the real strategy to overcoming survival mode is to stop letting life happen to you and instead start happening to life. Now, I think one of the most enjoyable ways to start happening to life is to let yourself enjoy life. Light a candle in your house. Put on music when you eat dinner. Go walk in beautiful stores. You know, let's look at the difference between Walmart and Target. Now, maybe you prefer shopping at Walmart because they're great. You get great deals. I actually do, on the grand scheme of things, between those two stores, I do more shopping and actual purchasing at Walmart. But I spend more time at Target because it's enjoyable. It's a pleasurable shopping experience. And if I have 30 minutes to waste in town, I throw Ellie in the shopping cart and walk around the store because there are beautiful things to look at. Or I like to go to World Market and look at beautiful things. I cannot tell you how many wine stores I go through and just look at the, I know I'm not buying anything. Maybe I'll buy a bottle of wine, but I look at the beautiful bottles of wine because it gets my mind to think about, for me, wine represents community and connection and travel and tasting and intellectual conversation and emotional conversations and celebrations and vineyards that are sprawling in the, you know, the Loire Valley of France. And my mind can see, go there, and I can, just by walking down, you know, two aisles of in a grocery store sometimes. Surround yourself with small ways to really rediscover your passions in life. Whether that's at your, in your house or in your shopping environments or in the little things you do, or maybe it means signing up for a book club or a soccer team at your local field house. But get active in life. Stop letting life happen to you and instead start creating the life around yourself that you want to be living. Start engaging. The third way to really overcome survival mode, oh, it's three words, and they're the same word over and over. Thrive, thrive, thrive. I'm going to say it again. Thrive, 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 thrive. I want you to write, if you're not driving or running on the treadmill right now, write the word thrive down. I want you to refuse to give anyone or anything a negative voice in your life any longer. Make the decision to eliminate the power of those who have harmed you in the past. Forgive you, forgive them so that you can maybe forgive yourself sometimes. Sometimes that's what's holding us back, but work through that forgiveness and move on. You might find that you need to forgive yourself for wasting years of your life being stuck in survival mode or in a martyrdom mindset. I realized in my eating disorder days, you guys, I spent 10 years only being a 50% version of myself. I had to work through that. I had to work once I realized how much of life and potential in those years I threw away by just being so insecure and so self-consumed with this sickness. It's a sickness. It's a disease. I'm not saying I was, you know, choosing, and I needed to get help, and I did. But I also, once I got help and I recovered, I struggled to forgive myself for wasting potential in my years. So sometimes that might be something when you're really looking to transition into a thriving mindset to become a thriver in life. You might need to look back and forgive yourself for the years that maybe you would, let's just air quote the word wasted, because nothing is wasted. It's all what you do with it. So but if you don't work through that issue, it will hold you back and you're going to be stuck in the wrong mindset. Thriving means something different to me than it means to you. So the second part of this third suggestion is to, I want you to take a piece of paper out, or maybe take your smartphone out and just text yourself or create like a mind map of what does thriving look like to you. Now, you can create financial goals, you can create travel goals, but you know, I want a vision for your life. What is greatness in life look like to you? What would your ideal living be? One thing my husband and I have done, we're about to move, so we're going to do it again when we move into our new house, but we have a large white erase board in one of our walls. It's our dream board. It's our vision board. We've got our top five family values and mottos. We've got our family financial goals, the short term, the long term, the long, long term, so that we, you know, we can live and give generously. We've got our travel goals. We've got our adventure goals. We've got this. What would our ideal world and life look like if we had everything in place? Now, we're thriving, and we wouldn't change a thing about where we are today. But where we're going to be in 25 years is very different where we are today, but it's because we're able to see it now of where we want to go. So my thriving board is going to look different than yours, but if you if if you don't start writing out, you're not going to know where you're going to go. Because when you actively engage in life, you get to steer your life in the direction you want to go. So this is a whole new world that's opened up to you, because if you've been stuck in survival mode, you've let life happen to you. You're everything's just happening around you, and you're just hanging on to get by. It's time to switch flip the switch. We're a whole different side of the coin. So I'm so excited if you're in this situation where this is a whole new game to you, a whole new ball game and experience, because you now get to take that white erase marker out or that pen and paper and start saying, what is it that I want in life? And I don't need a timeline for these goals right now. I just want your mind to start realizing, holy cow, I can do this. I can sort of direct the ship in the sea of my life. So the more you start doing that, the more you're going to start thriving and engaging to make those things happen. Now, the fourth way, my final way, is to change your focus. And what I mean by that is I want you to find a way to celebrate life in the smallest of small details. I want you to find pleasure daily. And I mean pleasure in things that might be unexpected. One of the absolute best books I've ever read in my entire life, it's a French book. Otherwise, I would make everyone I know read it. But most people I know don't speak French. To be honest, I don't know if it's translated in English. You guys can look it up on Amazon. But it's called it's called The First Taste of Beer. Now, I'm not even a beer drinker, but in French, it's La Première Gorgée de la Bière. And it is a compilation of short, like, two-page stories that go into full, beautiful detail on the experiences of the smallest, most mundane activities of life and how beautiful they are. So there's four pages written in great detail describing what that first sip of beer is for somebody who loves beer. There's a chapter about the moving sidewalks in the Montparnasse metro station, which is in one of the metro stations in Paris. And it was one of the first metro stations to introduce a moving sidewalk, essentially. That particular metro has these giant, like, mile-long corridors. And so the chapter just describes in full detail the immense pleasure a commuter's gonna get as they just step onto this accelerating sidewalk, you know, conveyor belts, and what that does for their day. I mean, you guys, just thinking about that, the book and the way they slow down their descriptions of small experiences of life was life-changing for me. And I think I think that's the ultimate expression of enjoying the small things in life. And I would challenge you today, and actually every day of this week, if you can remember, the small daily habits you have, sipping your coffee, maybe your morning routine, your makeup routine, your fitness routine, maybe it's kissing your spouse when they come home, the things that are habitual to you, I want you to slow down. And if you like to write, I'd like you to write about it. But if you don't like to write, that's okay. But I want you to think about as many ways to describe that experience, what it is about that experience that's so amazing, in the most exquisite and detail that you can. Because there's a lot of power in words that we can describe and ascribe to something. But more than that, we're celebrating life. You want to get out of survival mode? We got to get you to live today. And these are the things that allow you to live and savor the day today. And you know, a great movie, I just thought about this, a great movie that captures a lot of this is Amélie. If you've ever seen that film, and that is in English and in French, you can get it on Netflix. It's Amelie, I think it's spelled. But, you know, she walks into little stores and likes to put her hands in, you know, I think it's like a coffee bean bin, and feel the beans on her hands and textures. There's just beauty in what we would say in French, les petits plaisirs, the small pleasures of life. So I challenge you, if you really want to thrive, start celebrating les petits plaisirs, the small pleasures of life. Start being able to activate your life today, not just in your forward thinking, but today, so that you see that today is actually a gift and that you're going to celebrate it, every small detail. Because when you're celebrating, you're victorious. If you think about great athletes, the team so very rarely happens. So I'm going to mention it. The Redskins have won their
well, I think they won their first two preseason games. We're huge Redskin fans, my family and I. And the Redskins, for those of you who don't follow American football, the Redskins are terrible. We are one of the worst teams ever. So we've won. So I'm envisioning the Redskins being victorious. And so they won. What do they do? What does a team do in football or soccer or anything when you win? You celebrate. So someone who's victorious, a winner. Now, let's say a victorious in life or a winner in life. When you're a winner in life, or you're someone with a thriving mindset, a victorious mindset, let's just call it what it is. It's a winning mindset. You celebrate. Now, you know, you're not always going to have people popping champagne bottles around you and throwing sparkles up because you officially won something in the eyes of everyone, but you sure as heck can celebrate with that winning mindset, those small things in life. So that's why I really think that celebrating life, I want you to think about this. You're this great athlete that's like, I've won the day. I'm celebrating the day. There's a lot to be said for that winning mindset and celebration. So there's so much value in celebration. And I was, you know, it's for me, at least my own experience, I was taught the opposite. I was taught, well, it's just a Tuesday. Well, let's just get the weekend, then we can celebrate. Or why would we have a nice meal on this day? Because today's not special. Y'all, every day is special. Every day is special. So if you want to open that expensive bottle of wine tonight, do it. If you've been waiting to go have a fancy tea party with someone, with your daughter, take her to the American Girl place. Go do it. Today is special. That's the difference between survival mode thinking and thriving mode thinking. The mindset of a champion, the mindset of someone who's victorious, and the mindset of someone who's actively engaged in life. And you guys, I know you can make these changes. Because the reason I'm so honest about myself is I want y'all to know that if I can do it, you can do it. So that's all I want. I hope that was helpful on survival mode. I'm going to finish out with the listener of the episode. You guys, I love hearing your stories. I would love to honor you as listener of the episode. So anytime you feel compelled to share your story so I can celebrate your success and encourage everyone else in the community to do the same, please send me an email, trish@trishblackwell.com. I also have a really, really sweet voicemail that's cool. I'd love hearing your voice. Go to my website and just click the little voicemail button. And by the way, you don't have to record it and it doesn't like disappear. You can re-record it if you get nervous. You want to make sure it's, you know, how you like it. You can keep doing it before you send it to me. So listener of the episode this week is Chris Wood. Here's what Chris says. Now, Chris has been a longtime fan. She's awesome. She's an integral part of this community. She says, "Hey, Trish, it's Chris. I've been a part of your community since the very beginning. I think you know most of my story, but to recap, back in 2009, I weighed 369 pounds. I was sad, depressed, and isolated from the world. And boy, did I love watching TV. One Thursday night, I stumbled upon an episode of The Biggest Loser. There was a girl on there who looked a lot like me. Same body type, same facial structure, hair color, etc. I got hooked and watched as this woman transformed into an athlete. At the finale of the show, she ran a full 26.2-mile marathon. I just kept saying, I can do that. So I started out really small. I actually started with Richard Simmons' Sweating to the Oldies. It was a VHS tape that I found in Goodwill for real cheap. And side note, I did that VHS tape with my mom, and I used to love them. I think we had a couple of Sweating to the Oldies. Totally know those videos. Loved them. Here we go. Chris continues. I finished my first marathon that year and was so incredibly empowered that I ended up doing it 9 times more. I've not quite reached my goal weight, but I'm training for lucky number 10 and feeling really good about the weight loss I've had so far. In addition to that amazing accomplishment, I also switched careers and have finished school to become a rockstar paralegal. I love it so much. It's the best job ever. Some days I can't believe that they pay me. Don't get me wrong, some days are hard and I struggle just like everyone else. But one thing that has kept me solid and brings me back to myself is your amazing weekly podcast. You've inspired me to chase a dream I didn't even know I had. I am now starting my own podcast and website called Self-Care is Sexy. It's a life lesson that I need to learn, and I figured out what better way to learn it than share it with others. I can't thank you enough for all the positivity. You don't know this, but you've been a very good friend to me for a long time. You've been dependable and you've taught me about the kind of person I want to be. I want to be more of myself. I want to be free. Thank you, Trish. And you know what, Chris? Your story and your success and your victory and your winning mindset was just the perfect person to highlight for today's show, because you were surviving before. You were stuck. You were 370 pounds and didn't look good for you. And you made changes. You saw someone else winning in life and you said, if they can do it, I can do it too. And now you're living at your dream job. You've done 10 marathon, or you're training for your 10th marathon. You finished school. You aren't just a paralegal. According to you, you're a rock star paralegal. You're someone who loves their job and is thriving every single day of the week. And what's even cooler than that is you're building a legacy. You're taking these lessons that you're learning, that you've learned and that you're continuing to learn, and you're sharing them with others by starting your own podcast and encouraging people to follow your path and your example of just taking action on life. So congratulations, Chris. I'm so proud of you. I want to celebrate that with you. And you guys, just high five to Chris. I'm so pumped. And if I can do it, you can do it. If Chris can do it, you can do it. Whatever it is that you want to do, you can do. But you have to choose to engage in life. Stop letting life happen to you. And instead, watch out, life. You're about to happen to it. Go celebrate today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.